our New Testament reading, where we read about Jesus, John's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 1. And this is Jesus speaking. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you will be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Once again, we thank God for his word, particularly for the reading about Jesus. And this morning, as I reflect on some of the words there, in particular, I'm going to focus on the words of Jesus that are noted for us in verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in some ways, that sums up for us who Jesus is, what the calling on our lives are, the sense of purpose for our own lives. And I hope that as I reflect on these words, there might be just that inner prompting that we sometimes get, that little nudging within our hearts, just that reminder to us, that encouragement to us to respond in our hearts, to make a journey ourselves of discovery, a journey, a spiritual journey of discovery, to discover more about who God is, more about what Jesus did, more about how we should live our lives day by day. And I've put it up on the screen in that way. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I want to simply, if I may, just reflect on each one of those statements. Because that statement begins with Jesus answered. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus answered. We may not think about this very much, but I think it's absolutely critical for our understanding of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow after Jesus, to understand that Jesus is somebody who answers our questions. He answers our questions. I don't know about you, but I think the older I get, and I know I'm not that old really, am I? Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are not too sure. But I'm not too old, you know. But, the more I get on in life, I don't know if this is true with you, but the more I get on in life, the older I get, I feel I have more questions. When I was young, you know, I was pretty sure I knew most of the answers. And the older I get, the more I realize how few are the answers I know. Jesus is somebody who is completely willing to answer, to respond. He is open to us and our questions. And that's, for me, it's really important to know that when we think about becoming Christians, when we think about making a spiritual journey, a journey of discovery about God and what it is to live a Christian lifestyle, we need to understand that God is not closed to us. Jesus is not closed to us. He's not like a closed book. And however much we'd like to read the book, we somehow can't manage to open the pages of the book. In this case, it's Thomas who asked the question. Thomas, it's a bit of a shame really, I guess, but Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. But he was the one who asked the questions. Later on, in John's Gospel. Thomas is the one who says to the other disciples, I don't believe you. I don't believe what you say about Jesus. And here, when Jesus says, you know where I'm going, you know what this is all about, you know the story, you know how it begins, how it continues, how it ends. And Thomas is the one who says, hang on, I don't. What are you talking about? Tell us. And it may be that for us today, there is that sense of, okay, you know, we're in church, we're supposed to be together, know what we're doing. Might be, hey, I don't know. I don't understand. I have got my questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he live on this earth? Why did he die? What's this about Jesus being raised from the dead? Did that really happen? What's that about? What about all the extraordinary stories that happened in the Bible? What about the Bible itself? Can I trust it? Is it real? Is it true? Is it dependable? Can I live according to the story that it tells? What about today, the questions that I have about the world? There's wars going on. There's injustice that is so obvious and prevalent. I can hardly avoid these things. I've got questions about these things. And how about my own life? How about my own life? I've got this sneaky suspicion that I'm not all that I should be. Can I talk to God about that? I've got this sneaky suspicion, these habits that I have, I would defend, of course, and saying, well, I don't actually have a choice, it's just me. You know, that's who I am. But I've got this sneaky suspicion, maybe there's more to me than me. Maybe there's something more, maybe there is a life that I can live. I've got these questions and they're pouring out of me, given the chance. Every time perhaps I'm quiet, every time I sit down, every time I lie down to go to sleep, my head is full of questions about all these things and about me and about my relationships and about love and life, about death and dying, about suffering and pain, about justice and injustice, about hope and about laughter and love. And I don't know. Now, isn't it great that what we have recorded for us is Thomas expresses a question. He expresses a concern. He says, in effect, no, we don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus answered. And we need to know that. I think it's a wonderful thing about Jesus. And my experience of Jesus, he's not a closed book, but he's open. And there is that wonderful sense of being able to ask the questions and make a discovery about him. So Jesus answered. That was the very first thing I put up. The next, because the sentence says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus answered and said, I am. And just very briefly on this, when Jesus said, I am. Now for us, living in the 21st century, we might think, yeah, okay. We all say, I am this, I am that. But when Jesus said it, he was actually saying something quite extraordinary. Let me just tell you a little story that comes from the Old Testament. There was a man by the name of Moses. And on one occasion, the Bible tells a story of how Moses was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He was a shepherd. And as he looked after his father-in-law, Jethro, was his father-in-law, after he looked after Jethro's sheep, they were making their way to pasture, he happened to notice a bush that was on fire. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've seen bushes on fire, and Moses saw this bush on fire. And the extraordinary thing was, and this drew Moses to the bush, was the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning up. So he goes closer to the bush and a voice speaks to him. It's the voice of God. The voice speaks to him. Take off your shoes because the land on which you stand is holy land. It's holy ground. And Moses goes close. He takes off his shoes. He kneels down. And there's this conversation that goes on between God and Moses. And God is saying to Moses, Moses, the people that I love, the people of Israel at that time, they're in slavery in Egypt. They are struggling. They've been praying. They've been crying out to me. And I want you to know that I've heard their voice. I've heard their cry. Now, Moses, you are going to lead the people of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, and into a promised land. And Moses, of course, you know, blusters, you know, no way, never me, I'm a shepherd, I don't do this kind of thing. And eventually, God speaks to Moses, and Moses says, okay, tell me your name. Tell me who you are so that I can go to these people and say, look, God has spoken to me. This is his name. This is the name of God. And what God says is, I am. I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. And from that moment on, this mysterious name, this curious name, I am, became recognizable as the voice of the divine, the presence of the divine. And when Jesus answers Thomas and says, I am, which he does in several other places in this gospel as well, he is saying, the voice with which I speak now, it's the voice of the divine. It's the voice of God that is speaking to you. This is not just a rabbi, a teacher on an ego trip. This is not somebody having his day in the sun, in the glare of the celebrity lights. No, I am. This is the voice of God that is speaking to you. So Jesus answers and he says, I am. Now listen up. This is something really special I'm going to tell you. But all he does, he speaks three phrases. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the way. This is about journey. This is about making a journey. I love journeys. For years, I was always anxious on journeys. I don't know about you, but if I was on a train trip to London, I would get on the station where I used to live in Sutton Coldfield. I would catch the train from Sutton Coldfield to Birmingham, change trains at Birmingham New Street, and then get on the train. And if it was all the better if it was non-stop to London. Because as far as I was concerned, the destination was what it was all about. I wanted just to get there. I was aching to get there. You see, I wasn't just going to London because, you know, I fancied it to waste time, just to do nothing at all. I was going to London because there were things I wanted to do there. That was my destination. And getting there was most important. But when I lived in London with Sarah, we used to go on holiday to Scotland. Now, you may well wonder, why, if we live in London, do we go so far on holiday? And I remember on one occasion, we travelled up to the northwest corner of Scotland. And I remember looking on my mileometer when we got there, and we travelled 741 miles, which was quite a journey. But you know, I learnt something on those car journeys, that if it's about the destination, it's best not even to make the journey. But if it's about the journey, as well as the destination, then it's a really fruitful and valuable time. Because when you're traveling 741 miles, when you're traveling for 2 or 3 days, you begin to appreciate the journey. And you begin to value the journey. You begin to understand this is not just about getting there, it's about the journey I make between here and there. And so Jesus doesn't say, I am the final destination. He says, I am the way. It's about a journey that we make of discovery, of self-discovery, of spiritual discovery. Jesus said, I am the way. It's about a journey. And when we connect with Jesus, we begin to make a journey. I remember, as I said a few minutes ago, that when I was 12, although I'd been brought up going to church and all that kind of stuff, when I was 12, I knew I had to make a decision for myself about whether I would be a Christian. And I have to say that things in my life didn't automatically sort out overnight. You might be surprised at that. You might look at me and think it's all sorted. But when I was 12, you know, I prayed to God that God would have me as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. And things didn't kind of dramatically change and become all wonderful and lovely overnight. And I understand now it's because Jesus is the way, not just the destination. He is the way. It's about a journey that we make. And I want to assure you that making a decision to make a journey to follow after Jesus, you won't get all the answers straight away. But on the journey, you'll begin to learn and understand and appreciate the life that God offers to us. Not instantaneously, but a bit at a time. You discover. So Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What is truth? What is truth? When Jesus had been arrested, as we read in the Gospels, he at one point was taken before the governor at the time, a man by the name of Pontius Pilate. And there is this extraordinary exchange between Jesus and the governor. This is somebody who's about to die the most excruciating death they could imagine and come up with at the time. And the governor of that whole region, an incredibly powerful man. And Jesus speaks to Pontius Pilate, the governor, about that which is true. And Pontius Pilate's response is, what is truth? Now, I don't think Pontius Pilate is saying, Jesus, I'm fascinated by you. Tell me, what are the mysteries of the universe? Tell me what is true. I think he's been completely scathing. And he's saying, I am a soldier who's been to war. I have killed people with my own hands. I have seen injustices done right in front of me. I have done them myself. I no longer know what to believe. I no longer know what is true. Black has become white. Right has become wrong. I don't know what truth is anymore. And let's face it, within our culture, within society, I guess we could probably do a survey. If you watch TV or listen to the radio for 24 hours or maybe a week, you know, what impressions of truth would we gain? And I think we'd get some pretty extraordinary impressions of what truth is. The truth, the rightness of going to war. The truth or the rightness of feeding or not feeding the hungry or the poor. The truth or the rightness about caring for those who are unable to care for themselves. Some people will say their actions are true and right. Other people would say, no, they're not true. And then we have all these religions that come upon us, whether it is Christianity or Islam or Hinduism or Judaism. And we want to say, well, which of these is true? How can we be sure? And we might write off the Muslims and say, well, they're warmongers, they're terrorists. But hang on, let's face it. You know, Christians have gone to war in the past as well. Well, maybe they're wrong as well. Where do we find the truth? How can I know? How can I be certain? How can I be safe and secure? What can I depend upon? And this is where we have to come back time and again to the person of Jesus. The one who said, I am the truth. As you make this journey of discovery, as you explore the Christian faith, as you explore your own life, and you do it with reference to Jesus, what we discover is that Jesus is true. Now, I say that, and I would want to reassure you that I am not telling you that you should believe it just because it says it in the Bible. And I'm not telling you you should believe it just because I say it's true. The whole point is, Jesus says, I am the way. You can make a journey yourself and discover it for yourself. You can ask the questions you want to ask yourself. And that's the important thing. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and then finally, and the life. I am the life. I am the life. I am what life is about. The story that the Bible tells is a story that begins with creation, God as creator. And the story that is told today by people like ourselves, people of faith, is that God is a creator. We believe that God created us. God created me. God created you. And he must be an incredible creator because he makes us all different. And he makes us wonderfully different. And he's given us all gifts and talents and abilities that are different. But as we use them together, they're somehow wonderful. But God is a creator. And what I believe is this. One of my discoveries on my journey after following Jesus, who is the way and the truth. One of my discoveries is this. That within each one of us, there is an awareness that we were created by God. We were created by, we might simply want to say, a supreme power. But one who loves us. We were created by someone. My discovery is that the God who is spoken of in the Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ, he created us. He made us. And because he created us, he knows us. Exactly who we are, what we like, what we don't like, how we live, how we don't live, the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we see, the things that we imagine. He knows us just as we are. And the reason I say that is because Jesus says, I am the life. Now, if we wanted to discover how to live, where better place to go but to turn to the one who knows us inside out and say, well, look, okay, I've made a mess of it. You know, I keep making mistakes, so I keep making a hash of it. Now, look. You've got the instructions. You're the creator. Tell me how to live. How to live well. And it all comes as part of the journey. Jesus said, I'm the way. We make a journey. It's not just about getting to a destination. It's about making the journey. I am the truth. We learn on the journey to depend upon what Jesus has to say to us. And we begin to trust what he has to say. We find it dependable. And then as we do that, what emerges is a new life, a new lifestyle that is fulfilling in a way that nothing else can touch us. Nothing else can touch that part deep within us. And today I want to encourage you, if you're at that point of exploring your own life, exploring the meaning of life, wanting to find out more about the Christian faith, is sign up for the Alpha Course. Come along, ask your questions, discover more about the Christian faith, discover more about who Jesus is. Come to church on a regular basis, be welcomed, and discover more about who Jesus is and make the journey for yourself. Let's just take a moment just to pray together. Father, thank you that you know us, you know each one of us, you know me. You know everyone else who's here. And Father, thank you that you know us and you love us as we are. And Father, thank you for the invitation to make a journey of discovery. To discover who you are, who Jesus is, to discover who we are, who we were created, who we were made to be. Father, would you encourage us somehow, deep within us, would you encourage us to make the choices that we need to make so that we might make this journey? Help us to make good decisions, decisions that are good for us. And we offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.